If only one thing can come out of it, then that will be enough, and that is, brothers, that the Psalms are very, very rich, no matter which one you pick. And the brother need now to learn how to deal with the Psalm.
So, brothers, it doesn't have to be a whole lot. You don't have to thrill us with your great understanding. If you can bring up one little verse in just a few words, have you ever watched testimony? Have you ever watched brothers and sisters get up and give something to the Lord?
Sometimes the very greatest thing given is just the most wonderful thing of all. I even envy the sister sometimes. I really do. I would just, in my heart, I say, I just like to get up and say one prayer, sit down, and be able to do all that the sisters sometimes do with such a short word. Praise the Lord. Brothers, I'll read the whole thing. My heart is overflowing, and it's a stir and is bubbling with a good theme. I direct my verses to the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You're fairer than the sons of men. Great is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you, Lord Jesus, forever. Gird your sword on you, Lord, O mighty one, and in thy splendor and thy majesty, and in thy majesty ride on victoriously. For the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness, let thy right hand teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp. Your people, the people, fall into thee. Thy arrows are in the hearts of the king's enemies. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of joy above your fellow man. All your garments are fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. Now then, the most wonderful thing about this is what I would keep to know happened before the brother ever wrote it. Now, can you just imagine there? Here is a dear Old Testament saint. And he is going to write a psalm. He had not planned to, but he is going to write it nonetheless. Now that the main thing we must do, brother, is I picked this psalm for this purpose, is to realize why this brother was able to give us this psalm. All right, he bubbled. Then he said the theme. Then he let it go. He wrote it down. Praise the Lord. So, brother, before he ever took pen and paper and wrote it down where you and I could read it, he let it go with his mouth. That means that you've got the bubble. Then what do you do? Get pre-pain. Listen to the bubble. Don't get anything, get pre-pain. And you're having a dinner. And you just enjoying it so much. And then something happened on you. Suddenly, a little. You have a big problem. Right? Now, then you're going to have a problem that you know. Suddenly, something begins to happen to you. And then you're quickened by the Lord. And you say, no, I'm not going to be bothered by that. Praise the Lord, I'm above there. I'm with the Lord. And then you're quicker than you bubble. And you get a theme. And the theme is, I don't want you to be having a good day. I don't want you to have an ordinary good day. I'm going to give you some problems so you can have a glorious day. And you get perceived and you say, praise the Lord.
Well, you're never a good day. You're always a glorious day.
You get the theme. This brother bubbled, and he got the theme,
and then he poked it with his lip, and with his mouth, and with his tongue. Standing down deep inside of you, the Lord is bubbling.
What you have to do is find out what he's saying and fit with him.
Now that's the whole point of the opening passage, dear brother. The Lord bubbled. I love this. He overflowed, he stirred, he bubbled. My heart bubbles with a good theme.
Praise the Lord, then what do I do with it? That's right, and who did I give it to? Praise the Lord, I offer it to the king.
Who gave it to me? And then what did I do with it?
The king gave it to me. The Lord gave it to me. I bubbled. After I bubbled, I overflowed. I got my pen out, and I spoke the theme. I spoke it back. I didn't tell it to my wife. I don't tell it to my friend. I get it back to the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
What did this brother bubble with? Now, just watch what this brother bubble would wear, okay? Do you see how simple this is? Now, we're clear. Every one of the psalms with some brother bubbling.
And that's just one of those bad psalms. And even there, brother, just use it long enough, you'll find the bubble. We'll find a bubble. The Lord has done something to stir his heart some way. Tomorrow morning, bubble. Find the theme, and then give it to the king. Tomorrow morning, bubble. I'm the same.
Give it to the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I've heard you already are, sister. Praise the Lord. Now, my tongue is a pen of a ready writer.
And I am ready to write virtue to my king. Praise the Lord. Now, brothers, now, sister.
What delight. Well, the brothers just said to me, oh, Lord, you're fairer than the sons of men. Grace just poured upon your lips. That's really wonderful.
It's true.
That's not all he wrote.
He bubbled. He bubbled three things. I'm going to tell you the whole thing, and then I'll go toward the end. Praise the Lord. Looking very carefully. The first bubbling was from verse 2 to verse 8.
And in verse 2 to verse 8, he offered praise to the king. He offered praise to the king. He praised the king. Now that's very neat. He offered glory and praises to the king.
There's a brother who's given us something of an idea what to bubble over.
The theme? The theme is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he prayed the Lord for the Lord. And he gave up beautiful often. There's nothing in there that is doctrinal,
religious. How many times have you ever heard a man say, oh, you're fair in the sons of men?
You can't be religious to say that, brother. There is no way you can do it. You can say, oh, Lord, we thank you for this fruit and for the blessings you've given us with me.
But you cannot say, Lord, you're spared and all the rest of the men in the world for tear. That comes from deep within. From verse 2 to verse 8, he praises the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the kings. Who do we pray? We praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, my brothers, if you look very closely, from 9 to verse 15, can anybody tell me?
Praise him.
Praise is offered for the queen. From verses 9 to 15, do as you pray. Praying, prayers of the Lord. And then, brothers and sisters, in verse 16 and 17, he praises a third group. And then, who is that? The Son. Hallelujah. And he really praises God, or he praises the Lord for who? The Son. Okay? The first one he offers praise to is who? The queen, for the king. Then, and then, praise the Lord. You can't go too far wrong that your praises encompass beasts of the area. I think verse 8 is transient. It has some to it. Verse 8, joint 9. If you can find a church in there, praise the Lord for the church in the first part. He bursts out with praise and he says, you're fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lip. Therefore, God has blessed thee forever. It is just a wonderful outpouring of pure praise of nothing but how glorious the Lord is. Now that is in verse 2. Then, brothers, in verse 3, he goes on to another praise, and he praises the Lord not only for just being the Lord, but he praises him. Now looking carefully, he praises him for what he's accomplished. He praises him for what he's accomplished. Praise the Lord for what he does. Praise him. Praise him for more.
Praise him for what he is, then praise him for what he's done. What has he done?
He's won. Praise the Lord. Oh, he did three things. In verses 3, 4, and 5, hallelujah, he's done three things. First, he fought. He fought. Secondly, he won. Hallelujah. He fought. He won. And then he rode on. He fought. He won. He rode on.
But praise him for the fighting. Oh, Lord, you fought the battle. Hallelujah. You did all the fighting for me, Lord. I have nothing more to do. You won.
Lord, come on. You had an absolute, complete victory. And then, brother, he must never realize that the Lord just fought and won.
He just rode right on.
I don't even know what to tell you about that, except the Lord rode on.
Keep the riding on. He rode right through your lost life, brother, and he rode right on. And he picked up a great big mess and he rode on. He not only is victorious, but he's riding on victorious. I don't know how to say this except he is the one person in all of history who not only conquered but kept his conquest. He not only was victorious but went on victorying. He is victorious. He is victorious. And he's riding on victorian. Cried sister. He's just going on. And he comes to you every day, riding on. And you want to stop sometimes. You want to stop with a battle. You want to stop with a victory.
The Lord says, we're not going to stop at all. We're going to ride on, on, and on.
Ride on. Praise him. Praise him. with a bubbling heart that has found the theme. Give it to him and then praise the Lord. Just glory in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Then glory in what he's done. Glory in his fighting. Glory in his victory. And then glory in his riding on.
I want you to know how one brother produced the psalm. I want you, brother, to realize there's some help here for you in producing a psalm.
All I can say is there are two things here. One is positive, one is negative. I'll go to verse 5 and say the positive first, the negative first, and go back to verse 4. Praise the Lord, brother. The arrows are sharp, and they have found their heart in the enemy.
Yep, because the Lord's arrows, and the arrows in the heart of enemy.
I need a New Testament Revelation scholar. You remember Revelation 6? Can you recall what is in Revelation 6, brother?
Who is riding forth to conquer and as conqueror and to conquer one other thing.
Yeah, a bow or an arrow.
Brother Jesus Christ, there's no arrows left. Praise the Lord. The battle's over and the arrow is in the heart of the enemy. The reason I picked this psalm is I just want you to know there's just a whole lot here.
There's just really a whole lot here. And I want you to know something that all the Old Testament and the New Testament are nothing in the world but this psalm.
Lord Jesus crying, the why, and the sons of God, and that's all there is. The book of Revelation does three things. It reveals the Lord Jesus Christ, it reveals his why, and it reveals the son who will become the overcomer, who will live with him forever.
So the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the end of the Bible, all of it, brother, this is the theme of the whole Bible. And when you bubble, brother, you'll bubble somewhere around in here. You'll bubble somewhere in here, brother. Find the thing and give it to the king. For the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness, let thy right hand keep the awesome thing. Brother, in the negative vein, the Lord has killed the enemy, and in the positive vein, he has accomplished truth and meekness and righteousness. Let us go around to verse 6, 7, and 8.
Thy throne, O Lord, is forever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of thy right of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, thy God, has anointed thee. Now, we're going to look at verse 7 because it's the same as verse 4 and 5.
In verse 7, this wonderful king who is being made king and he has his kingdom Mary, he has loved righteousness, he has hated wickedness. He has destroyed the enemy and he has established righteousness. He has destroyed the enemy, and he has established righteousness. You realize what he has done?
He's made a plan, righteousness.
And for this, the Father is glad. And he has destroyed the enemy, and for this, the Father is glad. Who did that? The king, then. And who is the king?
The Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what is the Lord Jesus Christ? If you look at the verse, it's beyond kind of hint, then.
He's victorious.
With God, and it says he has anointed thee above thy fellow.
It is a man. I think, brothers, we need to see that there were a great crowd of men, just men, nothing but men.
And the Lord went over to one of them and said, I will anoint you above your fellow. This fellow over here ruled half the world.
This fellow over here found the cure for some disease. This fellow over here wrote a great novel.
You have destroyed the enemy. And you're a bad blacksmith. That's what I'm interested in. And for that reason, I will raise you up above all your fellows.
And I will anoint you with what kind of oil? The oil is gone, the oil of brightness.
I know you've never thought about this. I know you just never thought about this. You know you have a Lord, do you not? You know he lives in you, right? You know he's on the throne. You know all that. But have you ever thought about a good position? I don't think you've ever thought about any good position. Okay, I'll explain.
I am here upon the throne, and I'm ruling all the universe. I hate the enemy. I don't like that sin he committed in that murder. What is his big position?
Praise the Lord.
The Lord Jesus Christ is joyful. Are you?
So everyone for. I allow myself to hear. To not be joyful. I read it.
At this particular.
I've been through 39 years. The Lord has gotten me through everything. Is that not true? Right at this moment, I will have a problem in the world.
I sure can't think of any. Not in the Lord's house, I think.
Not as why would I dare get down tomorrow when I have 39 years to tell me? Because absolutely no reason to be down.
If I went back to my 37th year, knowing all I know now, I can tell you I could rip the every day of the 37th year
and not have one moment of despondency. Is that not true? And there's no exception to it. It's the law.
Brother, the cup, not all. That's but really rather objective. I suppose they a little bit more. And brother, the Lord Jesus Christ is, wherever he is, if you want to say in your heart, I'll go along with that. If you want to say he's on the throne, I'll go along with that. If you want to say he's ruling all creation, I'll go along with that. But I want to tell you this, whoever he is right now,
he's being anointed. I want you to see the Father just pouring over him. And after all the grace. And you all just pour down right here. And he said, oh, God.
Oh, pray you, Father. Pray ye, Father. And that the Lord Jesus Christ is just joyful all the time.
He's only got one thing he's really doing. He's waiting for his enemy to be converted into a habit. He's waiting for.
He's waiting?
He's waiting for the church to finish her job. He's just sitting around waiting. He's just waiting, and he's joyful. Now, when you think about that, don't you kind of wonder, will we make it? Will we convert the enemy into a hooker? Lower?
Cliff, go home tonight and worry about whether or not we're going to make it. What do you want to worry
about? Go home
and worry about us converting the enemy into a footstool. Because I can promise you, if you don't do it, the Lord won't be. All the Lord can do is to bring the joyful. The oil comes down. The oil comes down. Okay. All right. You don't have to be joyful. Don't be joyful.
One of these days, you'll get tired of being sad. And you'll find out there's no future in it. And then,
praise the Lord, you're going to reach out of the body of Christ like this. You're going to pour some of it up, and you're going to anoint it on me. Because it pours down from the head all the time. All you have to do is just reach out and get full of it and pour it on. Praise the Lord. Oh, well, before I came to meeting tonight, I just stopped and I said to myself,
Gee, what are you? Are you down? Are you up? What are you? And I could praise the Lord. I'm joyful. That's what I am. And I'm going to go to meetings right then.
I would get my watch, but I realized that I was late, and I started out of help.
And just for a minute, I was no. I got to the car, and I put the key in. No, praise the Lord, I'm not late, I'm going.
All right, the Lord Jesus Christ is being anointed constantly. Now then, just one other word, brothers, praise the Lord. Right here is another word about his accomplishment. He accomplished me. He accomplishes with myrrh. Excuse me, the oil of joy above thy fellows, and all thy garments are fragrant with myrrh and alloys and cassia.
I think you all know what myrrh and alloys and cassia is. All right, brother, the garments are fragrant with all of that.
All of these things are fragrant in the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the things that he has accomplished. Everything he has done is tied up in the myrrh and the alloy, however how you say that word, alloy, I don't know, and the cassia. Now then, brothers, the theme immediately changes at the end of that. We have been praising the Lord for what he has done. Now then, the praises break forth out of the ivory palaces. Out of the ivory palaces, the string instruments have made thee glad. Suddenly, for all the Lord has done, there are praises to the king. And the king, in return, is proud for the praises. The ivory palace, the temple, what the ivory palaces are, brother. Those are just the building within the temple area and all of Mount Zion and that part of the temple itself, which is made this way. It is simply, brother, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I could go on and toss it to you about ivory and what it means in the scripture, but, brother, that's the church praising the Lord's, and the church has made the Lord glad. Now, that introduces for us, praise the Lord. The queen, king's daughters are among thy noble lady. At thy right hand stands the queen in gold from Ophir. Praise the Lord, brother. The king's daughters are among the noble lady. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters.
I want to know if you are yet acquiring the nobility. Have you acquired the nobility?
I want you to know something. We, I like the little song. We look a little weird. But let me tell you something, brother.
The more the Lord what work himself into us, the more noble we become. We are a noble people. Even in our work out in the world, the world should sense the nobility. Now then, brother, the queen. Where does the queen stand?
At the right hand of the king. Where does the king stand? At the right hand of the father. There are only three people who get to stand at the throne.
The father, the king, and his wife. That's all. Everybody else got to go somewhere else.
They stand there or they sit there.
And Dee, can you imagine this one woman? She has walked out into the presence of this regal gathering, and she stands the right hand of the king in gold. And of course, it's from Ophir. And you know, you know where Ophir is. It was the place that King Solomon sent his boat to get gold. And as best we can know, it took 2 or 3 or sometimes 4 years to go and get the gold. And it was a treacherous journey. And it was good gold. It was a high quality gold. It was Tadesse gold. And this was the gold the king wanted. And it was in limited supply. And praise the Lord, the best gold and the hardest found gold, the hardest obtained gold, the best gold went on to a garment that covered the queen. Praise the Lord. You all realize that the gold is the nature of God. And this dear woman has now been covered with the nature of God. Then the Lord speak to the daughter and said, give ear, brothers and sisters, give ear. Do you want to please the Lord? This is so clear what the Lord wants. Incline your ear and forget your people and your father and all. If the church of the Lord Jesus Christ would like to make the Lord happier, and to get everything that's ever been here before. To get all that you are, to get your father's house, to get your way, to get your background, and head for the Lord's house.
When you have reft everything, the Lord, the King, will desire your beauty.
Well, can you grasp that? Yes, brother, it really is. We think how wonderful the Lord is.
We've been over this before, but we need to be reminded of it. We think how wonderful the Lord is.
He is God. Brother, do you realize that the Lord looks at you? He looks at the church, and when he sees the church has left everything, he desires her or her beauty. Do you want the Lord? But can you imagine the Lord wants you? Praise the Lord. Okay, we go quickly now. I'm just going to go real quick. It's interwoven with gold, and she will be led to the king in embroidered work. The virgins, her companions who follow her, will be brought to thee. Brothers, it is very interesting. According to a comment that I made, that I read, that the queen is first led to the father. He is first led to the father, and she is covered in gold. But she does not come to the king until she has gold that is embroidered with fine linen, a fine work. Now, brothers and sisters, you have been given the divine nature of God. This is an outward saying. You got God's salvation. I got God's salvation. For my brothers and my sisters, now the Lord has got to do something with her. He has got to work embroidery. No, he doesn't either. I know that we're not supposed to talk about salvation by works, but lift them anyway. The wife has got to prepare a linen garment that is entwined with the gold, that are the work of her own hand, that allow her to come into the presence of the king. She makes a garment of linen that allows her to come into the presence of the king. He has the gold that lets her come to the father, but she has to have the fine linen to come to the king. Brothers, it is enough for us to be accepted by the father by having the gold, but we can't be a bride until the fine linen has been worked in. Until something not only of God's nature, but of the Lord's own righteousness is worked into her. You know, in Revelation, it says the bride has made herself ready. How did she make herself ready? She did it by getting her garment finished. It was enwrought. It was embroidered. It was enwoven with his righteousness. This is something of the transformation the bride must go through. Praise the Lord for all God did in the first century. Praise the Lord for all he's done in all the other centuries.
Brother, the making of the garment is still going on. One day the garment will be ready, and she can come into presence with the king. Why is it necessary that we might match him not only in his nature, which is an outward thing, but that we might match him fully within, that we might be also something glorious and pure and righteous and wonderful. And that has to be worked into. All of verse 2 to verse 8 are a wonderful, 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 wonderful praise to the who. And who is the second praise to? Praise the Lord. The praise is to the queen. Isn't that nice? Brother, it's all right to praise the Lord to the queen. You ever do it? You ever just really praise the Lord for the queen? Brothers, it's okay. We must never boast, not in a fleshly way. But don't be ashamed to praise the Lord for the queen, brother. Don't do it in a fleshly way. Don't do it in an outward, braggadocious way. But praise the Lord for the queen, brother. Brothers, who get the delight when the queen is queen? Brother, let me just feel you. Let me just go there. Hallelujah. Would you stand up? Thank you. Sister, would you stand? Hallelujah. Isn't it glorious? I mean, isn't it really glorious? Praise the Lord. That is really glorious. You know, the dear sister looked so beautiful the other night, didn't she? Praise the Lord. Really beautiful. Did you see her garment? Did you see it? It was white. And it was embroidered. Oh, and she was so beautiful. She was so lovely. It was just a joy to behold how beautiful a bride. Praise the Lord. Wasn't she a gorgeous bride? Brothers, now tell me, is this getting the glory? Praise the Lord. I tell you, the glory is going to fall. Oh, did you mind that, brother? Did you feel left out, brother? Thank you, brother. Thank you for...
I appreciate you having gotten married just for that. Brother, when you praise a man for his bride, you're not praising the bride. You're praising the man. That's the most beautiful bride.
He doesn't say, oh, what is she going to say anything to tell me? No, he just beamed because he was the one who chose the lovely bride. Hallelujah for the church.
Hallelujah for the church. Praise the Lord for the church. All right, I'm going to go back now, Bill. The psalmist started to write and deal with a psalm, and he first got a bubbly, and then he got a theme. Then he offered it to the king. Then he praised the king for the king. Then he praised the king for all the king had done. Then he praised the king for the queen. Are you with me? That's one brother's way of bearing with a psalm. Brother, there's a principle here that we can take into all the psalms. It is a praise. It is a praise. The psalm is something of the Lord, that it's come out of a bubbling, that was a theme, that was offered to the Lord, that was about the Lord, for the Lord, to the Lord, and all that the Lord accomplished, and its queen.
Praise the Lord. We got two more verses. Praise the Lord. Oh, by the way, brother, when the queen comes,
all the rest of the daughters come too. And they come forth with gladness and joy, and they will also enter into the king's house.
All I want to say to you is in verse 16 and 17, we see the same thing from a different view. First, I want you to know that we praise the Lord. Then we praise the Lord for the queen. Then, I want to pick up my last place that I was speaking. Then the wife, the bride, embroidery for garment and finishes it. And now, we are no longer praising the king. And the church is no longer praising the king. We and the queen become a prey to the king. She is now a prey to the king. I tell you, Sister Patty is a prey to Brother Tar. Just go ahead and brag on Patty being a bride. It's all right. That's the praise to the king. And brothers, when the Lord gets his transformed work into us, we are no longer going to be praising him. We are going to be a praise to him. So we are a bride who is a praise to him. Have you got that? Now then, would you throw the book of Revelation in your thoughts with me just for a minute? What do you see? You see the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you see his bride. Then, hallelujah, brothers, if you look a little bit further, you'll find verse 16 and 17. In place of thy father will be thy son, and thou shalt make them princes in all the earth, and I will cause thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the people will give thee thanks forever and forever. While there is something here in which the Father steps down from the throne. Brothers, I tell you, as an enjoyment to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are a bride. We are a wonderful bride to express him. But brothers, we are something else. We are sons, and we are prince, or princey. We are princes, not princesses, but we are princes. We are a prince, and we are son to rule. And even there is the praise to the king, a praise to the daughter, and a praise to the son. Praise the Lord for the son. Are you grateful for the son? Do you ever praise the Lord for the son? Go ahead and praise the Lord for the son. Go ahead and praise the Lord for the princes. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord, brothers, that there is more and more reign.